cliffcentral.com.
Stand up for your rights. Everybody get up and get excited. It's we try to bring the most interesting people from all over the world onto cliffcentral.com to talk to you, and this morning is no different. I am thrilled to have Fluvia Lacerda. That is such a sexy
it
name.
It is.
To start.
I love that name.
Where is that? Where are you from? Brazil?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mabali and I have always had a thing about Brazilians. She for the men, me for the women. Brazil has such an interesting genetic mix-up of...
Yeah. We were actually talking about that last night, how Brazilians never had the whole separation of any kind. We just...
People just had sex.
We just... Yeah, apparently it's in the genetics.
Man.
There's no prejudice when it comes to sex.
I was in Sao Paulo, 2-3 years ago now, and I've never seen such good-looking people everywhere I looked, on bicycles, walking around.
Yeah.
Every couple looks like they could be on the magazine cover. It's a beautiful country.
It's very diverse. Mm. Yeah. Very diverse.
So listen, Fluvia, pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
I have often been criticized by people who are, let's say that they say I do body shaming and all of that stuff. So I'm kind of expecting some flack from you because you live in this world where you are actually a model who's praised for your amazing good looks, but in this case, your plus size model.
Yeah.
So you wear clothes that maybe these super skinny anorexic girls don't. And maybe you end up on as many magazine covers as they do.
It's actually the same clothing. It's just a different size.
Well, there we go. All right. So I get into shit because I will say to people that I think it's unhealthy and it's dangerous to be obese. Now, there's a difference between being overweight, which most of us are. I mean, according to the scale,
according
I'm
to
overweight.
The BMI.
Yeah, right. I'm overweight. And I mean, I've seen pictures of myself where I haven't been thrilled about the way I look. But it takes some kind of extra courage in the beginning and later on self-confidence.
Yeah.
To be a model of any kind, but particularly to be a plus-size model.
Yeah. It takes being very comfortable under your own skin, that's for sure. And it's something that I've always, it's something very innate to me. It's not a, I guess for some people it's a process in general. But for me, it's, I suppose, you know, the whole Brazilian culture is very embracing. And we have the whole natural sensuality to our people in general. And I suppose a bit of upbringing. My mother was always very, very feminist, always encouraged us to do whatever we wanted. There was never a second thought about looks. Hmm. It was always about you need to read books, practice sports, and go for your dreams. So
I was saying earlier, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, because no one's ever asked me to to model, so I wouldn't know the first thing. But it's all from the inside.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's easier to portray something in front of a camera if you feel that way inside. Be a plus size or a traditional model is just. I think it's easier to. It literally, I think, it oozes out of you when you're working. You know.
And if you don't have that, I mean, I've seen very, very aesthetically beautiful people, who are wallflowers and. They almost look like they want to hide away the whole time, and it does.
Yeah.
It detracts from their appearance.
Well, modeling, modeling in general is a ruthless business, and I've seen, like you said, stunning people who are so consumed by their insecurities it just destroys them. I've seen so many people come and go, you know, because they can't handle the pressure. So it definitely requires tough skin.
What happens if you suddenly go and lose a ton of weight and you end up being too thin for the plus size model market? Are they going to fire you? I mean, what happens then?
There's more of a measurement requirement in than anything else. So,
I mean, are they constantly evaluating you?
No, you just have to fit the clothes.
Okay.
You know, so
right.
I think for as long as I can remember, I've always worn the same size clothing, so...
So in other words, I mean, you've got a very stable,
consistent... Yeah, I mean, I think people confuse the fact that you eat healthy and therefore you should be thinner to, if you are overweight, you eat crap food. I'm a very picky eater.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I like to eat. but I'm very picky about the things that I, you know, put in my mouth.
So you're not going around. No, of course. And
I love how she looked at me when she said that. Like,
I'm reading between the lines.
Well, yeah, I just I've grown up in the Amazon, so I'm literally grew up eating such a healthy kind of food, you know. And then when I moved to New York, a lot of people bash the food lifestyle in the States, but it's where I really got into the whole organic thing. I kind of had a broader understanding of the kind of food that it's around.
Right.
So
so if I bring you cake and shit like that, you're going to say no.
I'm actually not a fan of sugar.
Okay.
Believe it or not. I mean, I like carbs, but I don't do crap food at all.
Well, listen, I don't know how anybody can believe anything that dietitians tell us anymore, because they tell you butter's good for you, then they tell it that it's bad for you. Then they tell you that vegetables are good, but you mustn't have too many vegetables. Then they tell you sugar is the ultimate evil, and it turns out that fat might be just as evil. Who knows anymore?
Well, I have a very simple philosophy of life. You just do whatever the fuck you want.
That's the most important thing anyone could say. How do you manage to balance all of this with having two kids? And can I ask how old you are?
Usually, I'm 36.
36.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you look fantastic.
Well, thank you. Makeup does help.
I'm 15, but I look like shit, so you know, right? 36 years old, two kids. You obviously have a very busy lifestyle.
Yeah.
You're probably flying all over the world. You're probably having to stand for long hours, sit for long hours, pose for long hours. Everybody thinks modeling is very glamorous.
No, it's not.
It's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Yeah, it's a lot of hurry up and wait. And there's absolutely nothing glamorous about it.
Really?
No.
Nothing. Because people, a lot of women will look at your life and say, well, she gets these amazing.
No, I'd be lying if there aren't perks. I mean, sure. It's nice to travel the world and get to meet amazing people, have different experiences that you wouldn't otherwise, but it's very, very tough. Very tough.
So how often do your kids have to say, oh, Mom, okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks?
Yeah, every 2 weeks.
And your kids are 16 and 2 years old?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a gap, huh?
Yeah, that's apparently.
That's a big gap.
How did you get into the modeling? How did it all start?
Well, I moved, like I was saying, I was born in Rio, but I grew up in the Amazon. And then
In the Amazon.
Yeah,
the Amazon.
My mother was a teacher. When my parents divorced, she had a job offer in a village, and we just went.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then I had a chance to go to New York, and you know, I always say my story is a very typical immigrant story. I went because my family was going through a lot of financial hardships. I grew up very poor, and
where did you guys live in New York?
I think Queens most of the time, but I went before my family. I went alone.
Wow. How old were you then?
15 maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
15 year old girl on her own.
Yeah. I always tell my mother, I'm like, what were you thinking?
Wow. I'm surprised you even survived.
I mean, who did you stay with when you arrived there all by yourself?
So my mother had a sister who lived there, and I stayed for a short period with her. And I just did all, you know, cleaning, watching kids, working at restaurants. I still had to learn the language as well. I didn't speak a damn word in English. And then at that time, a few years had passed, and I was working as a nanny. I lived with a family that I worked for. Mm. And I was on a bus, and a woman tapped on my shoulder and asked, you know, do you mind me asking what size do you wear? I was like,
what?
The first instinct is like, fuck off, lady. What are you talking about?
That's very New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't hold back. And yeah, so she and I was like, I beg your pardon? And she's like, no, wait, I'm not crazy. Here's my card. I'm a fashion editor at a magazine. I was watching you. I'm like, yeah, I noticed. And have you ever thought of being a plus size model? I'm like, what? What the hell is that? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I knew I could buy clothes for me, but I didn't know that there was an entire industry. So in the back of the car, she just wrote the names of agencies and said, you know, those have plus size divisions. It's a very well-established industry here in Europe. And I think you'd be perfect. You should definitely try. And I was like, okay, this is a prank. It has to be.
You're looking around for cameras.
I actually did. And the bus was packed. I was like, everybody's staring at me. I'm like, oh my God. So it took me a month. You know, I just went home. I'm like, it has to be a joke. Because I didn't know much about the fashion world. All I knew is that for you to be a model, you had to be super thin. Mm. That's all I knew. And so I went home, and about a month later, I decided to go into the agencies. And they take Polaroids, and, you know, if we're interested, we'll call you, kind of thing. And I got a contract offer from every single one of them.
Gee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about you? I mean, this is always something every model probably has to think about. You know, am I good enough? Am I going to make it? And in this case, for you, you weren't even trying.
Yeah.
And it worked. What do you think you have?
I don't know. I mean, I tend to think today that it was meant to be, in a way. I've always been a very loud mouth and a very big feminist. And I've always told people to fuck off when they came and said, you know, you need to lose weight. I'm like, that's none of your business because you don't pay my bills. And so I think it was really meant to be for me, because there are tons of other models who are far more beautiful than I am. I'm just really good at what I do, I think.
That's right. I love that you own that. I wish so many more people in South Africa would just own that they're good at something,
yeah,
and that's why people pay them to do it.
That's what I'm trying to, like, start, you know, get people to talk about it, because I feel like women here really don't embrace their genes, mm, in a way. You know, there's a lot of hiding. There's a lot of, I want to have that European look. And I'm like, people need to embrace their genetics. People need to own it. Like, you need to walk down the street and, you know, this is how my family looks like. You know, I have mixed parents, and this is how my grandmother has hips, boobs, and, you know, all that stuff. And so that's how I'm going to look like.
And it is amazing how, if you look through the history of humanity, if we go through stages where the most ideal kind of beauty is a certain kind of girl, and then that changes. And it goes in waves. If you look at Degas and the kind of women that he was painting, and you look back at the Venus de Milo in ancient Roman Greece, there's a shape to a woman then, which now you wouldn't find on the cover of most magazines.
You know, I think in the past, there's a very small group of people who dominated what was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I have been saying this for the past few years, that social media has literally taken those jobs out of those people's hands. There's a lot of people pissed off about it, I'm sure, because they're not making any more money off of that.
Yeah.
But I think the whole wheel of building insecurities in women's minds is slowly coming apart, and because the world shrunk and people connected with each other, and so the empowering from women to women, you know, across the globe is just massive now.
You said you're a feminist, and you grew up with this idea that your mom was very instrumental in kind of making you feel proud of who you were and not taking anyone's nonsense. But the fashion industry is actually quite a chauvinistic, you know, male-dominated, objectifying industry. It's really just about women are almost like just a clothes horse, and they have to be a certain thing to attract men, even though it's for a women's magazine. It's weird. It's a very messed up. You would think that it was designed by someone with psychological problems.
Well, it is.
So the fashion business is strange. And for someone who's as forthright with your opinions as you are, and you say you just don't take any shit from anyone, that must have been a
thing. A lot of opportunities because I just say whatever I want and I do whatever I want. It seems like that was the reason why I was very attracted to come to the show.
Well, you're allowed to say anything you want here. Have you ever had men say to you, especially photographers, because a lot of photographers are creeps, right?
I've worked with a few assholes, yeah.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, there are probably only a few reasons to become a photographer. One of them might be that you're very good at it, that it's a passion of yours.
Yeah.
It's the biggest hobby in the world, apparently, so everyone thinks they're a photographer.
Apparently so.
And then there are those guys who become a photographer just so that they can get girls to walk around in skimpy clothes around them and take pictures of them and be pervy and salacious.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
You haven't had to encounter any of them?
I've had to encounter a lot of people who have problems with their own body image and their own insecurities, and they rather, want to vomit that towards other people. So, but I get paid to do my job, and I'm very professional, so I go in, I do my job, and I leave. I don't feel like I should have to waste my time trying to convince you to like me.
How old were you when you started the modeling?
I'm 36, so it was 14 years ago.
Wow.
It seems like a eon, you know, like, yeah.
To have maintained you in all of that, because in the fashion world, everybody, you find very few people who are self-assured, because a lot of these people are, they know it depends on their looks, they become so introspective, they become so obsessed with and self-absorbed with how they look, that it can change the way they look. They can actually start having this body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
You meet a lot of very impressionable young models. They change.
Yeah.
It damages them.
I was sharing that story yesterday, how I had a job in Germany, and I was working. It was supposed to be me and another model. And after the first look she shot, the director had to call the agency and send her home because she couldn't move her face. So much Botox she had. And the guy's like, modeling is, it's acting in a way, so yeah. You can't send me people that can't move their faces.
Right.
So people do become, it's incredible, and they don't even notice, and they don't think that other people are noticing how much, you know, shit they're putting in their faces, and, you know, taking pills and shaking all day, and that kind of stuff.
And not eating.
Yeah, I mean, you have all sorts of crazy crap going on, all
celery
sorts.
Celery sticks and nonsense, yeah. Right? So tell me about this is always something I find very weird. In any business, if your market wants a certain thing, you give them what they want. Any market. If people like Star Wars, you sell them Star Wars merchandise.
Right.
Why is it that women's fashion is always, I mean, you're directing it at women who look like you and Mabale and every other lady in this building now. These are normal size and shape women.
Right.
But the marketing is all to these stick thin, the kinds of girls that I talk about the whole time. How does that happen?
Well, you know, it's changing. I think it's, like I was saying, it's a small group of people that try to dominate and dictate these things. And I think social media has really flipped the table upside down completely, where companies that always reinforce that idea are having to have that shoved down their throats, like, this is not going to fly anymore, because ultimately you're a business and yeah. You need money to survive.
You want to sell clothes, or you want to sell
and it's
sunglasses,
not a,
or whatever it is.
Definitely.
Right?
It's not a woman that needs to convey to the clothes. It's you who need to make clothes that fit a human body. You know, it's the other way around. So
are you here in South Africa for, remember, it used to be called Donna Claire. Donna is the store
yeah,
now.
Yes, yes.
Right.
It still is called that,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's called Donna.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're admitting you don't shop there then, right? Is that what you're saying? Or
no,
is
they just
actually changed?
Just relaunched it,
okay.
To be fair. Let's be fair.
Yeah, let's be fair, you idiot.
Cool. Tell me that. So, a lot of aggression from my left. So, Fluvia, are you here in South Africa to promote them? Are you involved with them?
Yeah. Well, I've been coming to South Africa to work for overseas brands for many years. And I've always really felt at home here because I find a lot of similarities between South Africa and Brazil. And so I wanted to work with a local brand. And it was actually me who went after them. I'm like, I want to start this
wow.
talk. Yeah. I don't recall ever doing that, but this was the first time that I was like, we need to start talking about it. And it's not going to be through an overseas brand that we're going to start a talk within South Africa. So I went there with my very loud mouth, and I think the director of marketing was like, what
wow.
the hell is happening here?
I better listen to her.
No, I don't know if that was the case. But anyway, so it just felt kind of everything fit perfectly with their relaunching of the brand. And, you know, now they're pushing towards a more modern, younger kind of fashion, and beautiful stuff is being made. And it's become a really, really good partnership.
And you're the spokesperson now for Donna Claire's
yeah.
Spring Summer 16 collection, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Sounds good. All right. So when you have to put on these clothes, do you get a say in how they look? Are you going to be someone who helps them pick and choose what kind of line they're going to have available for spring?
No, I don't get involved with that part. My part is really just doing the campaigns and we've been doing workshops to talk to people about it. We're going to have one tonight in Joburg, and women are going to come. We're going to talk about body image.
So how do these things work if I pitch up? Because you might be, if you're the kind of person who might be sensitive about these things, the last thing you want to do is go to a workshop about them. It might make you even more sensitive. How do you explain
this? You'd be surprised how many women who are not plus size come to these things, you know?
What are they doing, spying?
Because people are just tired. People are really tired of being told, like,
you've got
to
be,
you need to be that way. Well, I have hundreds of people, of women who write to me through Facebook and private messages on Instagram and whatnot. Like, I need to flip my mindset. Like, I watching you talk or hearing you and your history and the way you are, it has really changed my mindset. It's not necessarily something related to being fat or not fat. It's just women are just, especially our generation, I think, it's being swallowed in whole, like, by this whole idea of unachievable, you know, beauty. And it's
you never meet anyone who is 100% happy, though, right? I mean, there's always something. If I think about, you hear these stories about these Hollywood celebrities who are going for plastic surgery, but you think they look so perfect already. Yeah. Everybody's got some kind of hang up about the way they look. Don't you even have some kind of hang up? Is there some part of your body that you think that could be better?
Well, you know, I focus more on, I truly do focus more on trying to balance being a mother, having my businesses, doing my modeling career. It really, I have no time left to waste.
Don't worry about that shit.
No, I just, I'm very, it's a personal ritual that I've grown in my own mind, that I wake up in the morning, I'm just grateful to be alive. You know, right. I'm grateful for the job I have. I'm grateful not to be in a hospital bed. I'm grateful to be surrounded by people who love me. I'm grateful for the brain God has given to me, you know, so I'm just, I don't have time for that shit.
But in the morning, I mean, you still put on makeup and choose a nice outfit and all
that. If I'm not working, I actually don't.
What do you do, walk around in a dressing gown?
Yeah, it's like jeans, sneakers, and that's how I go to work. When you're constantly doing that, it's your job to look good. On your days off, you're just like, I need to breathe.
How hard is it to pick out a pair of jeans? Because men don't know this. Men have a waist size, and whatever happens under that, you either like it skinny.
This
or
is actually part of the reason why I hate shopping.
Right. So tell me about how hard is it to get the right pair of jeans?
Well, I don't know. If you have a big bum like me, it's kind of difficult, because then you have the waist to bum ratio. It's on. You have to become the best friends with your tailor. That's all I have to say.
Oh, sorry. Or you
Jesus, my buddy.
That surprised me even. That was good. I'm sorry.
Or you have to have a collection of belts, that either or. But yeah, it's a pain.
Yeah, I mean, there's some women who specially think about how they can dress to accentuate certain things. And I mean, have you picked up tips like that through the years?
No, I don't follow any
rule.
I really don't. I think people who set these rules are either out of a job and they need to put that in people's, like, oh, this is the rule. And I'm like, says who? You know, or people have no idea about self-confidence, and I just, you know, to me, that's just, no, I don't. I wear white, I wear linen, I wear whatever the hell I want. I don't care what people think. I think that's just another way of imposing into people's minds that they have to follow rules. It's like,
okay, well, let me ask you something that's happened in the news today that we were all struggling with this morning. So in France, they got these new rules about these burkinis. It's like a Muslim swimming outfit for women that covers everything except the hands, the feet, and the face from the ears forward. And the French police went up to this woman and they made her take it off on the beach, which is very, very bizarre to me.
It's very fucked up, if you ask me.
It really is, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, surely, and this is where you have the intersection of cultures and
I think people are just in a massive panic mode there.
Okay, but first of all, we don't like the idea that women in the Middle East should have to wear certain outfits. And let's face it, men made those rules. And we also don't like the fact that the French police, who are meant to be from an enlightened Western democracy, are going and making a woman undress in front of everybody when it's clearly some culturally that offends her. What's the right way to do this?
And those topics, I often say to each its own, in a sense of I don't judge how culturally you were brought up, because I do have Muslim friends that are perfectly fine wearing the
hijab,
everything,
or whatever it is,
right? and I don't go there because they think it's absurd how naked we constantly are in Brazil and objectified, and I see their point as well. So yeah, I think it's just the action of the police is just a fucked up one.
Yeah. No one should be undressed in public. That seems like something they would do in the 1600s when they called a woman a witch. And, you know, then they burn her at the stake as the next move.
Yeah.
So it's messed up.
Very disrespectful.
How about the amount of money in the fashion business? Do you think that that's outrageous too? I mean, the kind of advertising budgets these big companies have, makeup, hair, clothing, jewelry.
This is why I lose jobs.
Tell me. No, I want to know.
No,
I like
say that
sort of
without
opinions.
any, you know, I just, it's a wheel that has grown out of proportion, out of building insecurities into people's minds. The more insecure and the more, you know, afraid and the more paranoia you have in your head, the more you buy into it. It's a questioning
makes
that I've
you
had
spend on all these things. It'll distract people.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the rat in a wheel. You just don't get anywhere. You just keep running, chasing your own tail, and you forget to live.
Yeah,
that's the point. I often say, you know, this is not. I'm not here to be the front face for like defending any body specifically, any body type or any body shape. I just think it's time that women finally break these damn chains that we're constantly told. We always live on the, you know, demands and guilt trips and, you know, you're never good enough and you're never going, mm-hmm. you don't fit, it's never good enough. So I think it's an industry that has definitely pocketed a lot of money out of making you feel fucking miserable all the time. If your hair is too curly, it needs to be straight. If you don't have boobs, you have to put them in. And if you don't, you have too much, you have to get rid of. It's constantly something, you know, you're never good enough. And it's time that this stops. It just, we have different genetic pools. There's no getting out of that. And trying to conform into one mode is just torture. I mean, I'm never going to look like, I don't know, Heidi Klum, you know? But
they've called you the plus-size Giselle.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that? It doesn't seem like you liked it at all.
No, you know, this was actually born out of, it was a photo shoot that I was doing in New York City. And the reporter was asking the photographer, you know, how was it working as if we had a third eye? If it's working with a plus size model, is any different?
Yeah.
But apparently it is. And so he was like, no, Fluvia just has this thing that I think all Brazilian models have, which is that innate sensuality when mm-hmm. it's time to work. And at that time, Giselle was actually, we kind of started at the same time or so. And so he's like, it just reminds me of Giselle, the whole, you know, it just comes out. They don't have to try too hard. And the reporter went and, you know, printed in gigantic letters in two full pages, Fluvia is the Giselle Bündchen plus size. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, could you be any more creative or not? Yeah, so that's how it started. And it stuck because I feel like people need to validate my work through a skinny model, because it's not possible that you can be good doing what you do
you can't
being
just
fat.
Be Fluvia. You have to be the plus size Giselle. Now, what about living in the Amazon? I mean, to me, this is fascinating, especially going from the Amazon to New York City. Because you said you were living in a village in the Amazon. Your mom was a teacher.
Yeah.
Now, did you interact there with people who had no connection to all this bullshit in the world of advertising and fashion? And
yeah.
Were these people who pretty much lived
It's rural. It's very rural country, you know, and I think a lot of, not too many people realize how gigantic Brazil is. And it's probably a good contributing factor to the fact that I don't really buy into this crap is that I grew up, you know, fishing, and my, the main requirements of the house was like, you must read a stack of books every, you know, month. And so I was just busy reading and being a child and, you know, having fun. And there was never such thing as we have to put makeup on, you know, none of that crap. So it was the perfect childhood.
It's amazing. But the contrast must have been incredible from, from one day walking around in a forest.
It's like to a from a jungle to another.
Right. Concrete jungle.
Yeah.
And New York, you're very happy living there now?
It's been 20 years, so...
You should be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful to the life America has given to me. You know, I think every country has their crap and their good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy about certain things, but I'm not happy... I think most people on the planet right now are not happy about something.
You're a Hillary voter, right?
Yeah. I'm a Bernie Sanders voter, but...
Oh, you're disappointed then.
We got rigged on that as well.
The DNC screwed you guys up.
But, I am moving out of the country if that asshole gets voted in. A South African immigration, please call me.
All right, yeah, you can come here. We've got our own problems, trust me. But you're welcome anytime. And listen, it's an absolute pleasure to meet
you.
Thank you. Fluvia Lacerda, did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Awesome. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
And her face and her famous curves have graced some of the most successful and influential fashion campaigns worldwide. She's in South Africa with Donna, and she thought she'd pop in today to talk to us. And she is outspoken, which I love, about everything. So if you want to know what Fluvia looks like, you'll have to take a look at the picture we take with the podcast. And otherwise, she's going to charge for pictures. So don't mess around. All right. When we come back in a moment, we'll have the unnews, cliffcentral.com, on a Thursday morning. Man, am I happy that it's Friday tomorrow. I think everybody is. Thank you, Fluvia. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Cliffcentral.com.